Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Put down your arms, surrender, 'cause you'll never get out of here. We're fighting villains with just punches. Just punches will do. They got guns,
Very,
they got
very
things.
slow punches.
Yeah,
We
and
got
forget that we
gadgets.
have psychic powers, I guess.
Yeah. Gadgets and psychic powers. Punches will do. And maybe a kick. For the
And some
power of
martial arts
melee.
with appropriately Asian music.
Ooh, good stuff. Anyway, hello. Welcome to Spoiler-Filled Film Conversation. Hooray! I am the host, Richard. With me to chat films is Anthony.
Hello.
Was that a Scottish accent?
Sort of.
This is
It was better than
maybe.
what they had.
Happened.
And Abby, who's French?
Bonjour.
Very good. And Jamie, who is Asian, or maybe
Oh
not.
God. Oh
Maybe
no.
not. No, you could be French or whatever accent you care for.
Bonjour, mes amis. I'm Ben Kingsley for some
I
reason.
am how you say
Oh
French,
God.
and a
Ooh.
frog. Zut alors. Christ. Yeah, so quite the gem this week on the pod. Anthony took off the, I'm going to say cloche. We tried to learn this word last time on the
Oh
pod.
no, not again.
Is it cloche or cosh? What you take off, like a
It was
platter?
cloche. I think we
Cloche,
settled on
just cloche.
cloche.
I think I put
What
in
the
too many
fuck are you
syllables.
talking about? We're a minute in.
I'm taking off the metaphorical cloche.
I don't remember what that is.
It right in agriculture and gardening, a cloche is a covering for protecting plants from cold temperatures.
Oh, that's not
Oh.
right. This, I thought we meant those silver things that were on top of platters
I
you
thought those
serve.
were called cloches as well, but I'm starting to think. No. Oh, it is. It is. There's also a restaurant thing.
We're just
Yes, that
having the
is also a
same
cloche.
argument about that word again.
It's a fucking lid and a tarpaulin.
Anthony found a film in his mind from his memories and suggested it, so he'll introduce it now, Anthony.
Yes, and that film is Freddy as FRO7, which was released in 1992, and it's a British animated film directed and written by John Acevski and also written by David Ashton. And the film is about Prince Frederick, who is the son of a magician king, who ends up being turned into a frog after his evil aunt murders his father and seizes control of the kingdom, I guess. Frederick escapes her clutches with the help of Nessie, the Loch Ness monster, and grows up to become France's most renowned secret agent, now known as Freddy FRO7. So when Britain's famous monuments start to disappear, Freddy is called in by British intelligence to investigate and soon uncovers a plan for world domination perpetrated by the sinister El Supremo and his wicked aunt Messina.
He
The
did very well
voice.
to make that sound normal. Like,
That
that is so convoluted, and there's so
was
much
the
more to it.
almost the entire plot as well.
Well done, Anthony.
The wonderful voice cast includes Ben Kingsley, Jenny Agutter, John Sessions, Billy Whitelaw, Nigel Hawthorne, Jonathan Pryce, Brunella Scales, Phyllis Loggin, and of course the wonderful Brian Blessed.
All these
And that'll
poor
be
people.
that's the last compliment we'll be paying the voice actors this film. No.
Honestly, in like in the early 90s, that is such a stacked British
That's an
cast.
yeah, that's a really good cast. It apparently this was Brian Blessed's first voice acting role.
That seems mad. But I guess they had to start somewhere. God. Brilliant title for a film, isn't it? Freddy as FRO7 rolls off the tongue. I feel like it was it called that in the cinema, because I saw this in the cinema. I feel like it was like
What?
Freddy the Frog or
Wow.
something in the cinema. Yeah, the true
Apparently,
facts.
Apparently, once this got released in America, it like they it did so poorly that they cut the film by 20 minutes and renamed it Freddy the Frog.
What was your
But
cut? You can't cut anything. It's
apparently
quite
they
quick as it is, but like you cut some of the music out the numbers, I
so
guess.
up God, fuck, I wish. Apparently they cut a lot of the like more kind of racist stuff, which to
Fair
me then
enough.
it's like, so what's that? There's like 40 minutes of a film left.
Well, it's the stuff that's upsetting racism, and then there's the casual racism, isn't there? There's a lot of
Yeah,
degrees.
that's what I mean. Like, there's no film. Like, just cut Brian Blessed out completely.
Gosh. Anyway, Anthony, I mean, fair play to you. I'd forgotten about this, and as I say, I'd watched it in the cinema as a child, and probably more times on VHS, maybe rented it.
Jesus Christ.
I've watched this a few times and I'd utterly deleted it from my mind. So when you suggested it, I was like, what are you on about? That's not a title of a film. That's not doesn't make sense what you're saying. And then the imagery came back to me. I was like, oh my God, I've seen this so many times. So where did this come from?
I don't know, it just popped back into my mind a while ago, and I was and then it just all the memories came flooding back. I remember being utterly obsessed with this film when I was younger, because I don't remember how I saw it, but it must have been like in like a friend's or like a cousin's house. So I didn't have access to
I'd say cousin, because someone who shows you this is not your friend.
it. And then once I watched it, I just became obsessed with it for some reason. But then I could never watch it because I never had it.
Yeah.
So I spent like years trying to get hold of it, and I think we must have ended up renting it at some point or buying it even, because I have seen this film dozens of times in my
My
youth.
God.
I
That
know,
explains
right?
a lot.
I mean, I liked it as well. I liked it as a child.
And I have this I had this other memory come back of, do you know when you were in school and like on those special occasions you'd have like TV time?
Yeah.
They'd wheel out the TV on its stand, and they pick someone out every week to
Bring a
choose
video.
which of the six videos that they have choose from. And I remember it was my turn, and I saw it there. I saw Freddy as FR07, and I was like, we are watching this.
And they
And
called the police.
I have this really distinct memory of a kid, of a kid coming up to me and being really angry and like putting his fist in my face and being like, you better fucking pick little Ted.
Little Ted. Fair play. Not like a TV show, Little Ted or something.
Yeah, it was a TV show. Just a really angry kid being like, I want to watch a Little Ted.
He
It
was
was
right
very
though, little Ted was right.
strange.
Oh,
But
God.
the worst thing was the it turned out to be a fucking making of.
What
So
the video making of this
you
film?
it started off with like the beginning of him like driving through Paris in his anthropomorphic car,
And the
and
writers said
just it just cut to fucking animators talking about it, and it's like, oh,
well,
what?
first we drew
This
a
is the worst
pentagram on the
thing
floor
in
and
my
summoned
life.
Satan. And we sung him a song and asked for the worst screenplay
Why
ever
was
written.
there even a separate VHS of the making of the
It was so
film?
popular
Oh,
and
they had
fun.
to make some money out of it.
God.
No one was watching the film.
Lovingly animating a sexy frog car. You
Oh, Jesus.
could smell all of the other films on this, like Little Mermaid and fucking, I don't know, Roger Rabbit and stuff. I don't know. There's definite Little Mermaid was popular 2 years ago, so let's fucking do an underwater song, please, to this one. Anyway, so you, like I, had watched it a bunch, like mad, feral idiots.
Films.
I genuinely worry about, like, only internationally does this stuff
Yeah.
happen. Were you some kind of a town full of test subjects?
We probably just had the same video rental store. I mean,
But why
No, but it was at a
graphic?
school.
I do remember my mum was very fond of buying very cheap videos in Pound Stretcher. So most of our VHS collection was like really knock-off Aladdin and Jack and the Beanstalk and Cinderella
I
and
had a
stuff
few of
like
those
that.
too. Stretcher is to blame.
Also, I think I might have bought my VHS in like I think I had it on VHS. I can't be sure. I haven't seen it in any recent times. I don't really have. I would have remembered it more recently if it was in my mum's house somewhere or something. But I might have bought it in like Woolworths or something. I don't think it was just knockoff shit. This was like a success for children, I think, this one. I don't
No,
know.
bait.
So telling you, like, kids are retarded and don't know what's what.
I mean, half of the people here loved it when they were young, so.
Had you heard of it, Abby, before this time?
No.
You're a kid knocking
Never heard
around.
of any. No.
You weren't a kid knocking
Knocking
around.
around, by the way. All
Not knocking
right.
around at the places you're getting this shit.
Cinema and the video store. This
It
came out in 1992. This isn't something me and Anthony made up.
feels like it. And I
Well,
watched it yesterday.
even a fever dream would make more sense than this.
I
absolutely was not watching this. I'm not saying I was watching anything good, but I was not watching this.
You wouldn't have had good taste as a child. You wouldn't have been like, silly rubbish.
When did Fern Gully come out? Because I more or less watched that every week.
Yeah, we didn't we do an episode on Fern Gully?
Yes.
Did.
Yeah. And that had also horny, but it was horny Tim Curry as a black blob of goo. So like
The
Yeah, that
whole
also had
other
a
thing.
that had a message and a point. This was like kind of
Yeah. Th things
was
things coherent happened in Fern Gully.
at best this was about not using weapons.
Is it what?
Well, the frog guy is like, you should use your mind to conquer things and kung fu and
Just and
magic.
magic.
But it's easy to turn down the use of a gadget and a gun when you've got mind powers, isn't it? So
Which he squanders.
yeah. So Jamie, no data for you on this one then.
So when this came up, I thought I'd seen it. Maybe it was the cover. Like it sparked something whenever we started talking about it before doing it, but when I actually watched it, it was like none of it
Okay,
was
good.
really familiar. And then yes, just fury. I blacked out for a while. Yeah, I hadn't. I think I'd vaguely heard of it just as a like, worst animated films or whatever. But yeah, I guess I hadn't ever seen it. And now I have.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
And I didn't have good taste as a kid either. We've established, this what 92. So when did that Mario Brothers movie come out?
Around then.
Later than it looks.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, all of us are guilty of watching trash
Oh,
to
never mind.
this
That was
day.
my. That was the year after. But
Yeah, but close enough.
point stands. I was like watching that on a constantly. Renting it from the video shop. So, we all were stupid kids with stupid tastes, and now we're stupid adults with stupid tastes who have to talk about Freddy SFR07.
But now
God,
in our
Henry.
ivory towers, we can condescend to these
Oh.
lovingly produced films.
I feel bad for everyone who works on
Hastily
this.
slopped together films.
This was someone's passion.
Okay. No, every single
Yeah,
person who made this just needed to do the last thing on that contract. Except the writer and director. So this is the thing that I wanted to address first of all is how sad the backstory of the film is.
isn't the
That
director
this
this the only thing they did?
Yeah, and it was based on like stories he would make up for his son. And I suppose he was like, you know what?
Over a very disparate period of time where he couldn't remember the backstory to
I
anything.
guess, but like, Oh God!
I wanted to be. I want to be there for when he was doing the French accent to his children.
Well, that's the thing. I read that about this was based on like stories he would make up for his, like bedtime stories for his son or whatever. And then he was like, "I'm going to turn this into a film. That I'm going to make an animated film for my son." And I was like, "Oh no!" And then it was shit and it bombed.
Yeah. Wait. This was what was the was his son still a child? There's a bit where, like, they make tit jokes and she flashes her boobs.
Don't worry, I'm getting there because yeah. I thought, like, oh yeah, that's really sad that you know he tried to make this like real film out of the like he tried to make it The Hobbit, and it bombed and was a failure, and that's really depressing. And then I watched the film, and it's weirdly racist and horny, and I was like, do you know what? Fuck it, never mind. It's not sad, it's just strange. What was he bringing his son up to, like, believe?
Hey, look, what kind of person is this? You know, not everyone is like Roger Hargreaves and comes up with a bona fide hit that makes millions, you know, like
yeah, and like that's what I mean.
Loads of like
not everyone's gonna write The Hobbit for their child, like it's and that's why I thought it was that's why I was like, oh, that's it's kind of sad that it just didn't turn out. But then I watched it and it's all this weird, it's weird shit about like how everyone who's not British is like a Nazi or like possibly Asian and they're invading and they're taking away our culture and also it's check really... out this woman's tits. And I was like, what?
It was so, it felt so British as well. Like, cause it's like, okay, it's a French character sort of. And but it's so focused on saving Britain is key to saving the world and the British perspective on God. Frenchness and stuff. I don't know. It's really like, wait, was this guy British, right? He wasn't like something else. Because he has to be British. I don't know. I haven't looked it up, I guess.
I mean, it's Osevsky is not a British name, but like.
No, it feels it's... like, you know. The colonial view on the world, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, that's the other thing as well. I could find nothing about this film outside of the very bare bones information that's out there.
Well, we've all watched it now, courtesy of YouTube, I think. It's quite hard to come by. Can't go to the cinema to watch classics like this.
You can, apparently. How did... Okay.
When it came out.
Yeah, but I want to know the story of how that fucking happened. Like,
well,
why?
You pop your ass to the audience, you buy a fucking... Or your bum buys you a ticket and some Revels and you fucking go the fuck in and watch it.
Was it the Odeon or the UCI?
I don't have perfect recall.
Was it the one in Swansea?
I don't know. It doesn't matter, does it?
I was just curious. I was trying to evoke some of my own childhood memories. This is a film that you'd go and see in the Lyric, though.
Well, I don't think I ever went to the Lyric as a child.
Nice. I don't know why
that's
I said that.
That's where we were going. Hey? We were going to the Lyric, watching Pleasant Things. You were going to like you were going to watch this.
Swansea. Swansea, if you want a bit of choice, Swansea. And if not, you just stay home and watch it in Llanelli. I don't know. I remember. I didn't know it existed. You're asking, like, what cinema did you go to? I didn't remember the film at all until Anthony reminded me. And I watched it several times, so here we go. We watched it freshly now, so it should be easier.
I'm just
to
doing anything I can to not talk about the actual film.
Yeah, well, it was crap.
It did not go unnoticed or unappreciated.
As Anthony said, it is a tale as old as time. It's your classic boy gets turned into a frog. Boy gets attacked by his snake magic auntie, gets rescued by Nessie.
Well, you can't just skip the fact that it starts with a lengthy and shit song.
That's right. That is true. I was just going to paraphrase the film again. But yeah, it's like Freddy the Frog is just a man-sized frog human. Who wears, I don't know, 1950s clothes, like a flat
it's
cap.
So
and, a scarf
and you're right and about the way he walks as well.
His arms are up, like he's walking like he's an old Gallagher or something, but a bit more camp or something. I don't know why, there's no reason a frog elbows need to be really high. He's a lanky streak of piss frog. And he drives, and it doesn't make sense, he drives a frog car that has no backstory. But he's got a frog car that's alive and can make ribbiting noises. That
it's alive, female, and very sexualized from the get go. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it sort of it farts out frog hearts and is possibly it fancies Freddy, who his
yeah, it's
survivor.
Jealous of Daffers.
The spy lady, yeah. And so this frog car and Freddy are driving around Paris to set the scene perfectly for the origin story, which takes no place in France at all. So they drive around carless France, like in the middle of the day. There's not an ounce of like the animators are like, we're not animating traffic. we're lucky you've got a backdrop painting of all the sights. Yeah, so and like you said, Jimmy, the fucking worst pop song ever.
The music in this film, I'm sure the people trying to make these songs were just like, you know, getting the pitches for them and being like, fucking hell, what is this? And just trying to do the best they could. But God, the songs are awful.
Yeah, and it establishes Freddy as just, I don't know, international man of mystery. And he goes to his fancy, I'm going to call it a lily pad because he had a big loft nice. Apartment with like a pond full of lilies.
And a frog phone, that literally a phone that is a frog. Why? I don't know.
Well, if you're a frog man, you're going to buy all the kitsch, aren't you? This,
it's alive, though. He has all of these tormented living frog gadgets.
I don't know. There's no explanation given. Got it. This guy. And then some possibly genuine French person, voice actor doing, just someone doing another terrible accent.
I think every member of the cast in this is just a British person doing various accents, which when we get to the Ravens causes some real problems.
Well, it was because it was better than Ben Kingsley's French accent. Does anyone want to make the obvious point about the casting of Ben Kingsley here?
I mean,
why?
Yeah.
Does anyone guess why Ben Kingsley was the obvious choice for a French frog man? Has he done anything? I mean, he did Gandhi. When did he do Gandhi? That's like a big leap in race, I guess.
He is part Indian, though.
Was he part French? Sorry, Abby, what were you saying?
I already pitched my idea. It's that everybody needed to fulfill contracts. He did this because he needed to get out of his contract with someone. Or he owed someone a favor, or someone had blackmail.
Yeah, I feel like some sort of tabloid person might have approached him with a manila envelope and be like, if you don't want these photos out there, you know, of you basically patting Kevin Spacey on the back saying, I love the way you molest young men. Keep at it, whatever. You want that knighthood, Ben? You got to get your fucking French accent done and dusted now.
God.
Anyway, it sets this up and it's right. Okay, well, I bet you're wondering why is a frog man, and wandering around Paris? And then it's like, there's like, let's give you the zut alors, it's me,
the lengthy backstory.
Yeah, so vague somewhere else in Europe, medieval times. There's as Anthony said, a magician king, because that's the thing, who was the king of
dead.
Nowhere.
Don't worry
king.
About it.
His mother's dead. That's very sad. He's happy, but just remember, also he's sad. If we haven't had enough death, very quickly on, the wizard king father who's teaching the kid about magic and life is murdered by his sister, who is also a jealous magic evil auntie.
Snake woman.
She can turn into a snake, and she does, and I guess scares a horse and the causes a cart accident with the dad, right?
Yeah.
That's Freddy's dad's dead. And then it worked, you killed him. Now I guess your problem is the son is still alive and he'll inherit the throne of nowhere in particular. So you decide to turn him into a frog. Classic fairy tale stuff. I'm sure he's going to be smooching someone and turn him back into a prince, no doubt.
Nope.
No, none of that. But it's a trope. It's a trope.
Yeah.
So she turns it into a frog, I guess, because you can't just have magic to just kill him with mind bullets or something. He's a frog. You scared the horse off the road for the dad. You turn the son into a frog. But then you turn into a snake to kill him.
But yeah, he gets away.
One step too many there if your aim is to murder your nephew.
Yeah, just kill him.
It's a bit sus as well. The car accident is, oh no, that's unfortunate. No one can do anything about that. If you, like, what happened to the prince? He became a frog and he has puncture marks from a snake's bite. You're like, well, we need to investigate this, do we? That's a bit sus.
Okay. First thing, and I made a note in the chat when I was watching this, because I did not want to forget. When she turns into a cobra,
yeah,
but
with hips and a face, like a human face,
and like a suggestion of tits, which is weird. She chases him around for ages underwater, I guess, because he jumps out of a castle into the sea. The noise she makes like a hiss screech noise. It is literally, I don't mean literally facetiously, I mean it in the truest sense, literally. It is the noise of the siren of the Ecto One from Ghostbusters. It is the actual, like, audio.
Is that like a stock noise then, or what, that they used?
I don't know. I don't know if they just took it, but they use it. Like, they put it kind of, they layer it a little bit under, like, other, like, hiss, screech noises. But I was watching this with, like, in-ear headphones, and it's definitely the noise. And then occasionally they pitch it up and down. But I could not pay attention to anything else that was happening at this point, because I just was hearing the fucking Ecto One in her scream and was like,
that
why?
Is weird.
Why is this in here?
Who are you going to call? Fuck.
But then Nessie turns up.
You're going to call Nessie, of course.
Yeah.
Because in vague Europe somewhere, not Scotland, but maybe south of France, possibly, in a different country, there's, I guess, Nessie's on holiday.
Well, it is, yeah, because she is in Scotland, because she says she's got to go later back on to Bonnie Scotland.
Oh, yeah, Bonnie Scotland, yeah.
And sing a song about how big and voluptuous she is.
Fuck yeah.
Later.
Yeah, like I said, it's kind of a, I don't know if we call this animated Nessie sexy, but sexier than you'd want.
There's a real undercurrent in this film of...
she's sassy, I'd say.
These characters are all very shapely and know it sometimes.
To pay a compliment, the fact that when the auntie, who's a magical snake woman, when she's a human, she has a look of a cobra about her.
Yeah.
But when she transforms into a snake, you're like, that's the kind of stuff you want animators to work on, is like a nice, similarities in both the animal and the human, you know?
Yeah.
So that's good. Thumbs up.
There's some, just to pay the film a compliment now before I forget and never say anything nice about it again. Some of the animation is good in terms of it's very, like, fluid and
it's a very thrown together story wise, but I feel like people have tried to make it look good.
They're trying to do something with very little.
Abby, what do you think? Do you like any of the animation style? You're very picky, famously, about your animation.
It's pretty standard stuff for the time.
Mm.
Be like Disney, but not quite.
Yeah,
it does have a like an edge of kind of like Saturday morning cartoons in the main animation.
Yeah,
I mean, like, the backgrounds are usually pretty good, like the backgrounds of, like, London and mm-hmm. Paris and stuff, and it was like, okay, those are pretty impressive. But sometimes, like, the movement animation can be a bit choppy, like it was.
Yeah, you can see where they had to cut corners and put time and money into other things. There's a whole, but the problem is where that's applied, because there's a whole sequence that I hated when Freddy finds the other frogs and they're all having, like, a jazz party in the freaking swamp or whatever's happening, and it's just this lengthy sequence of random shit happening with all these frogs.
It's all, yeah. They don't
vague ADR dialogue. of a,
and like lots of little gags that are just like throwaway slapstick bits that the frogs are doing.
Like it's just there, and I for some reason one of the like ADR'd in lines of the stuck in my head was one of the frogs going, "Waiter, waiter."
Because French frogs, waiters, it's all very French stereotypical bullshit that people have thought of for this. Well, that guy has this sad man is to his children. This
odd man.
Yeah, so like Nessie intervenes in the fight between the snake witch and frog prince by biting at the snake woman. And you know, she saves the day by being Nessie and having cute pink hair and stuff. Obviously, but she gets her tail trapped under a rock, and then Freddy can help her with his magic mind powers that knackers him out, but frees her, so they become friends.
She makes weird little giggly, flirty sounds, and it was really strange, and she got her tail stuck in the washing machine.
The only thing I will say is that the way Freddy faints after having used this magic is the way that I faint after having done basically anything.
That's the way I fainted after watching the film.
Yeah.
Abby, you weave your magic in, you know, a more traditional way. Like, and then it exhausts you from making the big effort it is to live life like a human. When you should be a frog.
In contemporary Britain.
Yes. yes. So one of the things is... Sorry, go on.
No, just while we're still on this scene, there was one small detail that caught my eye with this scene. It's when, like, Nessie scares Messina off, and she like becomes a tornado,
exactly, and then where just, I was going.
Destroys a chick, which must have had like lots of people on, and they're all dead now.
Yeah, it's fucked that she becomes a massive, like, what is the word? The tornado,
a water spout.
A water spout? What?
I believe in my notes, I said maelstrom.
A maelstrom is good. She becomes a giant snake maelstrom in the middle of the sea, and as Anthony said, it kills a ship full of people. I was just like, fucking, what a weird day. Yeah, and then she fucks off. And then Freddy... Also,
yeah, what does she say? She's like, you know...
You little bastard.
Yeah, like, I'll get you, and then I'll be able to rule the kingdom, and then take
the world. Yeah,
but it's never really explained why she needs to kill him in order to do that.
Very little is explained, except for this very specifically going out of its way to explain why he's a frog. like
this kingdom doesn't play into it at all. Like, it doesn't.
No.
She's not even the full main bad guy. I don't. It was such a okay. There was a boy who was a fucking who turned into a frog, and he's got magic powers because I don't know. There's a family of magician rulers or whatever. There's no country to worry about. So let's not worry about details. Nessie turns up because why not?
Maybe they were like the only magic people in the world. So like the only one who could possibly defeat her is him.
Why does the narrator occasionally sing his lines?
Because it's a fun musical for kids sometimes.
Musical is very generous, I think. There's only like three songs in the film.
Yeah, but they're there. For some reason. Well, you know, the important thing is, what does Nessie do? Like, takes Freddy somewhere else? Or like, he ends up in a small pond somewhere.
Yeah, that's... I don't know where that is. I don't think the film knows where that is.
But it's
back to shore.
Yeah, so
he
apparently. Yeah, I don't know, but he a bit of frog life for him, you know, it's a classic ugly duckling story of he was different to the others because
he's massive.
I thought in my mind he like he was going to stand out slowly, like he'd make frog friends. They're all partying. There's a stupid frog gag and song number there. We don't need to get into. I don't know, ice skating and waiters and bullshit.
Waiter.
It's not he's slowly getting bigger than them, and he can leap over a tree in his little frog face shorts. And then he just suddenly gets bigger.
Yeah.
And then inexplicably, all the other frogs just fetching some random clothes from a different
Better put
time
some clothes
period.
on him, because he's got a weird green human dick and balls, and we don't know what to do about that. So,
yeah, you're long. Where did they get the clothes from? There's some naked bloke going around now.
I got attacked by frogs.
I went skinny dipping in a pond, and then some frogs took my clothes. And then okay, so now this medieval prince is he also ditches his crown just to fit in with the regular frogs, and that never comes up again. Though he was
they go into all of this detail explaining his journey as a frog, but they really skip over how he became a secret agent for the French government. Like
he
just
fucking
is.
Flies to France, magically just flies in the air into space and down and lands in Paris. And then it's like
the weirdest bit about that is that she gave him a lift and then he flew into space.
Yeah.
Like, well, why didn't you just save her the bother and just fly into space immediately?
You scare people flying Nessie, or you mean on his own? Like
on his own.
But he hadn't had time to practice his maybe it's like puberty Abby, where he kind of comes in, the magic comes on as he's growing up in the frog community. You know? Maybe,
yeah,
he didn't,
maybe
he didn't, he didn't have to jump out a window to begin with. So he didn't know what his limits were.
Maybe it's erection based. We'll never know.
Erection based. By the looks of how he lives his life, it is.
I think he just skipped to acceptance. And he's just like, well, I guess I'm a frog now.
Yeah.
A magic frog. And so we missed the recruiting stage of what do France call their secret service? Interpol? No, that's not right. Intertadpole?
Oh, God almighty.
Missed that joke, didn't they?
They missed anyway. A lot of jokes.
Fuck yeah. Anyway, so the important thing is they set up the crisis that's happening kind of around the world, mostly in Britain. And it's not clear initially at the start, but turns out
initially.
There's a... Well, I just mean that there's a mysterious beam sucking up monuments around the UK. But it turns out that's a UFO metal snake magic spaceship, is it?
Yeah, the first one it takes is Nelson's Column, and we see a little kid with I Love New York on his t-shirt. Tourist going like, hey, yo, hey, you. Like...
How we know this is Leicester Square?
Yeah.
I don't know what accent I'm doing. Yeah, it's just as bad.
It's fine, there's was shit as well.
Yeah.
I'm walking here. Yeah. All the great places. Oh, Jamie, in WhatsApp you mentioned, oh, you left out Wales, didn't you?
Yeah, speaking of how racist this film is, apparently it has a problem with both Wales and Ireland as well.
Well, to be honest, other than
they only did one in Scotland, so it's not like it's in love with them either.
Yeah.
They spent time up there, though, didn't they? Their base was there. I just felt like, what is there in Wales to steal? And I was like, the big Tesco, or...
There was the shop near me when I grew up. I consider
Tesco.
That quite iconic.
We covered that. What are the landmarks that are in Wales? Seriously. In all seriousness, we'd be fucking Nick Snowdonia. That's not even a landmark.
Cardiff Castle?
Cardiff what?
Castle?
Cardiff Castle.
I was going to say Canal Run. We got castles. They could have taken
one
of them.
Well, yeah, poor us not being robbed of our
Dylan Thomas's money. House.
Yeah, look, just take all of land, I think. Well, you wouldn't even need to shrink down his writing shed. Just pop that in. Pop that in as is. But yeah, like, so this UFO snake magic mobile is stealing monuments and shrinking them eventually to hide in a secret lair. And it somehow ties into sapping people of their strength. We find out.
Yeah, this
later.
This is something that is never quite clarified, because it's like the plan is to take all of Britain's monuments and like sap
our patriotism is absorbed.
Yeah, like sap the like energy that people have put into them.
How do you interpret it, Anthony? There was like weird purple shit going all over the UK on the map, but what was happening?
He wanted to harness the energy from the monuments that was built up by just the British people and their respect for them and fighting for them.
Oh, right, because then, Nigel Farage wrote this. I remember.
Yeah.
And then using that energy to sort of sap them of all their energy and
their British vigour.
Yeah.
But you
so
know,
everybody goes to sleep or is late. That's, so,
and weirdly, that's probably the most coherent bit of the film.
Yeah. Well, this I mean, is like, so,
this is an idea there.
I'm. This is a fucking soapbox moment for me. This film, there's obvious ways that this film is like racist in like things that you look at like. I guess we'll talk about
talks about the French or some of the
yeah
I don't know, yeah.
But there's this undercurrent to the like the main story as well, like this driving point of like
British values,
yeah, and like this mysterious person with vaguely Asian features coming with his army and like.
Yeah. Taking the Queen's house. Who, weirdly, we never see the Queen's face. Yeah. That's sacred.
But taking like the history and the culture of Britain, yeah, and removing it so the people become docile and placid. And I was like, this is
anti-communist or something.
Weird shit. I think there's like an Eastern menace kind of undertone
maybe
to it.
But then it's Brian like, Blessed, so you're kind of not sure about the main villain being
well,
Asian.
This is that's
and
the thing.
Got a Spanish name, El Supremo.
Yeah. Well, that's yeah.
Also, and, like,
he's got a wrestling name. Is what he's got.
Yeah. Sorry, Andy. What are you saying?
I was like, maybe it's just all foreignness.
It is. That's what I'm kind of getting at. Is that
the villains are like a mixed bag as well, aren't they?
They're very.
Well, the fucking clan is in there, and actual fascists.
That's what I mean. Like, yes, it has, like, it does portray, like, to its credit, I guess, some of the, like, villains' forces as, like, you know, goose-stepping Nazis and clan members. And it has what appear to be very caricatured Japanese, like, fascists in there, too. So I guess there's that World War II mentality. But, boy, the way they draw them is unpleasant to look at in through a modern lens.
And they sing. They sing about how they like being villains because villainy is good. And
another shit song. But there's, like, it's really weird to see that kind of representation of other races in a cartoon from the early 90s. Like,
I know, John Major's Britain should be proud British people watching this. Like, is he left yet? Not New Labour yet?
92, no. I think it's still John Major.
Yeah, it so it's everyone's swelling with pride at, you know.
It just, this is the kind of stuff that, like, you know, now when you watch old Warner Brothers cartoons, there's a warning at the front to tell you about. But, like, by 92, I think a lot of people were already trying to be a bit better about this kind of stuff. Like, there was
we're still
obviously
8 years away from Little Britain, so we're still
that's
true. A long road yet.
But it was weird to see it in a film this, like, comparatively modern to something like, I don't, you know, old Looney Tunes cartoons where Bugs Bunny is going up against like Japanese people and they've got like big buck teeth and little eyes. Yeah. Like,
I don't
but
think
I was...
it was as bad as that though. I think it was just caricatures and stereotypes rather than.
But it's like, it's that. It's
not
that.
Not the Bugs Bunny fighting fascism is terrible. It's just representing a race that way is terrible.
Yeah. But it's also that and then painting them as this like weird force that are coming to take Britain's culture
away. It's a magic
away.
Snake, Auntie. It's okay.
I know.
It's not any one country. And they're doing a bit of a, we make fun of the French, but we are grateful that the hero is French, really. So it's sort of saying, even though this is absurdly British, French people are all right, if long as they can take a bit of teasing. And they basically come here and fuck our women as well.
Yeah. We also have the Ravens, of course.
Oh, not to be confused with the crows from Dumbo, but the same exact concept of like American black crow ravens.
So not
they,
only
they got American, this is the concept: is tourist ravens have come to visit the ravens who live in the Tower of London, which is then stolen and vanished and shrunk or whatever, and then. So for some reason, some of the British ravens are like punk rockers.
But they're also talking in like And really outdated,
American, yeah.
like, yeah, and talking in like really weird, like sort of outdated, like jive talk.
Yeah, like, they don't know what punk is. Like, they're Los Locos. That's what they are. I just don't get, like, and then we know there's a human frog magic bloke who's going to interact with humans, but the ravens also get to burst in a window at MI6 or whatever and tell them that the Tower of London or whatever has been stolen.
Yeah, oh, and they keep calling it the Bloody Tower, but they have American accents. It's so...
What the fuck are the ravens doing in it? Like,
and why, like, and yeah, the two main ravens, at least, like the ones that are visiting from America, are very clearly like two like white British actors doing like black American accents.
Southern style, whatever. Abby, were you thrilled to bits with the representation of different cultures in this?
Representation is a strong word. It's more of a caricature, I would say. This is just... I don't know. I don't think there's one functional character among them.
No, that's... Yeah.
What do you make of sort of secret MI6 or Secret Service guys with all toffs? One of them gets tangled in a phone line hilariously.
Oh, they did that, what, 4 times?
Yeah, they really liked that joke.
And just... It's like, okay, I already thought he was shit. They're going to make me think he's shit 4 times. Which
I
just,
suppose...
It just destroyed me internally.
I suppose it's, you know, if just on the back of criticising the caricatures of, like, other vague races, yeah. I guess at least it also does the same thing to all the British characters. Because
the
they're
British,
very, like...
The British Secret Service.
Like, fucking... Nobody's
saying
words.
As well.
Yeah.
Like they're all like toffs and arguing, and they've got one of the people's evil within them.
Ah, Jonathan Pryce. Jonathan Pryce's character. So we do have some Welsh representation. It's the snivelling little turncoat.
How did Freddie figure out he was a... Oh, he had like a tattoo.
Very obvious tattoo of what is this world's version of a swastika on his arm.
It's quite clever. It's like a snake.
It's like an hourglass and a snake.
It looks kind of like a rune.
Famously, the Nazis spies always had swastika tattoos on them, so you could tell.
Yeah.
The devil likes to leave his mark on people. I think that's the idea. So, anyway, the head of MI6, they make fun of him. They sort of, it's Britain making fun of itself because we're such legends. We can take a bit of a joshing as well. That's basically what it's saying with its deep patriotism. Is we don't mind making fun of ourselves as long as we are the winners. But they're crap and they need to call in the French. And the best Frenchman for the job is this magical French frog who's had loads of experience, presumably in a prequel to Freddy as FR07.
I guess.
Where he earns his letter numbers. A bit weird. They do a joke about some of the double O's have been, I don't know, dispatched.
Yeah, It got a sensible chuckle out of me when they said they were going through where the 00s have been lost, and they said 007's lost in Hollywood.
Very good.
I was like, yes. Okay, that's a joke. Thank you.
Write that down, guys. There was a good joke. So Freddy, you get
one more later on, which I'll bring up when it's time.
Oh, good, yeah. We get
the guy.
Sort of, sorry,
the Secret Service guy who is basically M, Brigadier G. He's voiced by Nigel Hawthorne, and this was his last role.
Bless him! What a swan song! What a frog swan! Before a frog spawn. sorry, I couldn't make sense. So they do the, this is when it enters like what we thought it was going to be, which is a Bond parody, you know, a cartoon Bond story.
If James Bond was also a magic prince.
What if he was a magical prince frog? Haha, satire. But they do the stuff that happens in Bond then. So they'll go down to Q Branch and see the gadgets and it and meet some of the other spies. And they we get the hilariously brilliant bulletproof bubble the Scottish guy. What's the Scottish guy called?
Scotty.
Scotty. Is he called Scotty? God, yeah. It's so racist.
Voiced by John Sessions.
You can't call a Scotsman Scott. Oh, yeah, Scotty. Is that his name? His name? Oh, forget it. Like, is his name Scott or is he just Scotty because he's
his
Scottish?
Name is Scotland.
Scotland. This is full of it. Scotland McIslands.
Yeah. Scotland right. McBagpipes.
Yeah, that's it. So he has a big arsenal of guns and an inflatable bulletproof thing up his coat or whatever.
I don't know. So this film came out in 92. Was he deliberately designed to look like Colmeny?
Or... you think he was?
That's just
massive chin and gonk on him. I don't know what you're saying there. There's one bit as well where Freddy gets hold of his fucking nose and French kisses air into him. That's really
I may have to kiss you again.
It's not to do it in front of a woman.
Oh, God. And,
but, like, we've got Scotty, the bobble hat wearing fat Scotsman, who is the weapons guy. And then the. I don't know what Daphne's full name was.
Like Daphne, a stupid long something.
Name. Fortigue was her name.
So, Jesus Christ, why do you know that?
Sorry, hang on, whoa. Can we get a clear?
I wrote it down.
Anthony, go again, please.
Her name was Daphne Fortigue.
God.
Just the doubleness makes it funnier.
Voiced by Jenny Agutter.
Daffers? What, from Fawlty Towers? Is that who that is?
No.
Then who am I thinking of?
Brunella Scales.
Yeah.
Is she in this?
She did the voice of the Queen in this.
Oh, yeah. I knew I'd seen her name on the credits.
Jenny Agutter was in American Werewolf in London. I mean, she's been in a bunch of stuff, but she should not have been in this.
Well, she was the... Go on.
She was in the Asylum that we did a couple of podcasts ago.
Well, as you're in this, she's an animated redhead who is there to be hit on by Freddy, who I think the first joke, she has like a, I don't know, a fucking gadget insect.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Like in Ricky.
Oh, yeah,
Rich
that's never explained. A fly lands on her tits and he's like, I like the landing area.
Nice tits, love. Look at your big boobies. You will flash them to me, yes?
Yeah, and then she fucking just opens the top and is like, look, I got no hidden weapons. And I was like, what is happening? Is he going to fuck her? Because it seems...
We end on like the, it goes to like a heart-shaped circle, you know, like the little closing, not circle because it's heart-shaped, but you know what I mean, at the end. So it's inferred. And the car that wants to fuck him also makes a little, you know, croaking noise to suggest love. They also very brazenly set up the ending. I can't wait for my next American adventure in the US of A. It's like, not happening. Freddy goes to New York can fuck itself is not making any money.
They'd already started apparently, like they'd started physically like animating the sequel,
and then what,
everyone just... went what the
nope. What? But two boys in Wales have watched it. They loved it
multiple times.
They'll have their hearts broken. So yeah, like she's there as like a scantily clad, sometimes spy, whatever. And so the three of them.
When we see her practicing her vague martial arts, we get some Asian flavored music as well.
Yeah,
well, it may as well just play chopsticks when she like just be gong like.
Well, that's how the British understand, you know, the world through Orientalism and things. Yeah, what a cracking team to fight the mysterious magical baddies and save Blighty. Freddy's like, right, I'm in charge. Don't worry. Now you're in safe hands. Nice webbed hands. Although he doesn't, I don't think he does have webbed hands. He's like, perfect idea. Let's go to Ascot because.
How you say Ascot? Why do,
how you say Ascot? Not like that, buddy. But there's no clue or reason. Like sometimes, like Sherlock Holmes is like, I've observed this tiny baby that no one else saw. I just fancy going horse racing. That's where the richest crooks hang out. Is that his logic?
Something like that.
And then this kids' film, they're just betting on horses and shit. Like, what's going on?
I don't even know what to say about this sequence because I'm not sure what it is or why it's in it.
I mean, there's a bit where the car bounces over other cars because it's a frog car, you see. And then they're just like, I'm betting on the French horse. Are you? And then a bunch of thugs in like Ascot wedding style top hats and coats come, and Freddie eavesdrops on them. He's absolutely correct. The henchmen that we don't see later on know about the evil plan.
They're just gone.
They're not in the montage of racist villains, are they?
They might be.
I don't think they are. I think they just disappear from the film.
They're clued in, though. They won at the horse racing and retired. What if someone stole Ascot? That'd be terrible. And then Freddy's plan here is, okay, we know now they're going to steal Big Ben next, so we'll lie to MI6, who are obviously incompetent, and we'll all secretly hide in Big Ben, so we'll get UFO'd and shrunken and taken to the lair. That's semi-good plan. I don't know why he needs to not make... He doesn't want too many people for some reason.
He did say something about the military tend to shoot things.
He's a peace-loving magic frogman. And other people could shoot things, but not him anyway. I mean, that's solid stuff. I feel like, you know, that's fine, right?
I think I was too into washing the dishes at this point.
don't remember the important.
I remember them going into Big Ben, but they also, they tell
all good showdowns should involve Big Ben. Basil the Great Mouse Detective has a Big Ben showdown.
That's the Big Ben showdown, I think.
It's a pretty good one. More than that, though, there's plenty of Big Ben showdowns in films.
They're in Big Ben.
They go to Scotland, basically. They're taken there. I mean, do you remember where in Scotland? You looked up on a map where this island was.
It's in the Hebrides.
Wait.
Abby's got facts.
The island of the worm, or whatever it's called?
They weren't that specific with their map. All I could determine was that it was the Hebrides.
I'm actually shocked that you were able to pin it to any kind of real-world location other than Scotland.
We don't know what kingdom Freddy's from, but you know, we could saw a dot on a map that we could determine vaguely what bit of sea it was in. And they have a fun lair, the villains. A villain we've never seen before. We had that brilliant origin story of Freddy, who was setting up the ante. And then in the meantime, she's hooked up with big, fat, massive chin bloke.
I like that all of the characters have their own designs, except for this one, where they just drew Brian Blessed, but with pointy teeth and kind of Asian-ish features.
Well, his chin was less beard and more chin, but he still had a beard.
I mean, I think...
You've been a bit fed up, but you're giving Brian Blessed quite the gut to leg ratio. I like that the snake just hangs off of him and it takes a back seat for the most part.
Yeah, I don't... Why, though? Auntie. Like, what's their relationship? What's happening?
Anthony, you've seen this 17 times. What can you say for yourself? Explain what happened to you.
Oh, my God, I can't do that. I don't know. I don't know why they set her up as kind of like the main villain at the beginning and then she's just kind of like a secondary snake villain for the rest of the film.
Is he fucking the snake?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's when she has the song. And the song is shit, but it's sung by fucking Grace Jones.
Yeah, that should be a win, right? But no.
It should be a win.
Yeah.
But the thing is, all Grace Jones does is hiss.
Yeah.
That's all she does.
And say...
three lyrics, and then all the rest of the song is just her going...
Definitely ad-lib vibes in the studio.
Yeah, what did she say? Evilvania or something? Or Evil
Mania?
Yeah,
Evilmania.
Jesus, fuck. Like, I was watching this by myself. I didn't inflict this on my children. Like, I have a small daughter, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to make her watch this.
You're better than my mum, then.
So I was like, I'm not going to be able to just fucking sit and watch this. I'm going to put my Bluetooth headphones in, put my laptop on the kitchen counter and do all these dishes while I watch it. So, but I was watching this effectively by myself doing other things. And even though no one else was seeing it, I was so fucking embarrassed to be watching this musical number.
This is what you do. This is, you know, listen to a podcast about, you know, Napoleon or something. You freak. We watching a children's animation on YouTube for?
Not even that. A really awful one. Like this, just this song.
Well,
like,
we listened to. Put it on the speaker.
Throw my laptop in the sink and just fucking destroy it.
We're watching this now. Sorry. Yeah. But anyway, like. It is really odd how it does this, right? Right, we're going to do the villain song now to just get you back up to speed. We've got all these weird henchmen, fascists, and evil people in a big room. And I don't know what they're doing there. They're not an invasion force. They're just on an island.
I think they are, though, because they have like a bunch of ships. Like
is it for afterwards? Oh, yes, so the submarines. That's right. I take it back. They're planning submarine attack. Only because if it was planes, I guess the Nessies couldn't help out and tie them all up with seaweed.
Ugh.
And yeah, you know what the fuck? Like, okay, the good guys are there now and confront them in their evil lair. Oh, but they do get briefly defeated, right? Because they how does it happen that they end up in a cage in underwater? What happens there?
It's so they take. They take Daphne away to hypnotize her or something.
Mindwash her.
Yeah. And then they put Scotty and Freddy in a box and put it in the water. And there's a bunch of monsters down there for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. Just other monsters other than Loch Ness.
Just sea monsters making horrible, annoying, screeching sounds.
Yeah.
That's and that's weird. Where he says he's going to kiss Scotty to blow air into his mouth, but then he uses a funnel, a tube.
What's weird as well
dental
is...
Dental dam.
Early on, Nessie said, if you ever need me, you just whistle. Which is kind of canon, because there was that children's animation in the 90s or 80s with like... What was it? With like two kids, and they had like thistle whistles, and they could whistle up... Ness.
Oh,
my... Loch Ness,
oh the family called? Ness. The
yes! Family Ness. Yeah, that was better than this.
Yeah, no, definitely. But like that, so is that like a thing you could whistle up Nessie? Is that how that works? Just this rules?
I don't think there are any hard and fast rules with the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, but it definitely exists.
How dare you?
But they whistle and it somehow underwater gets to Nessie and she turns up and breaks the cage and stuff, so they go free and then they leave Scotty on a fucking rock.
You get hypothermia here
and I'll go off and have a fun like musical number.
Yeah, not only that, but he specifically tells him like we'll leave you here, you go get help. It's like what? I'm a rock.
And then
they know, like, you know, there must be time is of the essence at this point. They've just discovered like a plan for world domination. They've just like set off their whatever sleep ray, and it's time for a nice musical interlude with all the Loch Ness monster family.
Oh, is this the Freddy you told us about, Granny?
No, it's a different Freddy
Loch Ness
the Frog
with
Man.
A fucking nappy on, and I was like, what?
And a giant pin in the nappy as well.
Yeah, like it's the 1940s, and I feel like I'm lucky I didn't stab myself in the eye with something.
The surprise that there's more Nessies, whatever that. I don't know. There's not room for one Nessie in Loch Ness, but there's umpteen of them in the general vicinity of Scotland. And what they just sing about, like, what was the song? Fucking dancing, but.
I'm big and horny. Look at how voluptuous I am. Barbara Dixon sings this song.
Like, yeah. Something about her being like shy.
I was shy,
but also dancing.
I met this frog and he's look at him. He's hot as fuck. Like, or something.
Don't get into that. It's more about being big and having a dance.
Yeah.
And being a bit shy about it. Yeah. But then how's that? That's just abandoned, isn't it? And they fucking go back to, oh shit, we're meant to be saving the world, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a song because they said it was a musical and they needed to have one. And then they just get back to the film.
So, Abby, we haven't heard from you in a while. Do you want to quickly check your notes for any bits and bobs you perhaps wanted to flag up?
The only thing in my notes in this latter half is that they teased they were going to shove Big Ben up his ass, and then they didn't do it, and that was
Oh, yeah.
disappointing. I really wanted that to be how that went.
Because that's the thing. The film has been surprisingly risque about certain things, so it wouldn't have shocked me if they did do that. So it's like,
See,
it
well,
may as
Brian Blessed
well.
gets Big Ben slowly growing up his arsehole into
Like
like an OnlyFans video. He's
a
absolutely
very
thrilled.
specific Pornhub fetish account.
Yeah. You, Abby
That
wanted
mum
that,
filled
didn't
by Big Ben.
I think they
Step
had
mum
sort of.
caught on Big Ben, whoops.
They had actively reduced my intellect by that point.
Did
I
they
felt like
use...
that as well.
What's odd is that they have a lot of tech that's also magic they don't explain. So they got this like snake-shaped, almost like Jafar's wand computer thing that zaps people's minds and tells what is the thing they're all repeating, like
The snake shall rule the world, I think.
and
Yeah, something like
also a
that, yeah.
fat man that they don't mention there.
Yeah, what
But
is
I'm
he?
just a boyfriend, is it?
But why does he have fangs? Like, is he supposed to, like, I
He's just
don't
a
know. Maybe they
fat
were going for him being Rasputin or something. Yeah, kind of.
fat
I can see
Sputin.
that too. Oh, God. Okay, I'm leaving.
Oh, Abby, there was one thing you do remember when they like, so Freddie and Daffers, no, is it the Scottish guy? But no, she's ensorcelled or pretending to be ensorcelled, and so the Scottish Scotty and Freddie come and
Oh.
they nick wetsuits, and you said it was like something they do something. I can't remember what you said.
They did get help, which is a very old trope, but was called out by Thor and Loki in one of the, I don't know if it was one of Thor's movies or one of the Avengers movies, and Loki didn't want to do get help.
And that's when you pretend you're
Ragnarok.
injured.
Was it Ragnarok?
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought it was. I haven't seen it done so obviously before as they did it in this, so it
Hold
stuck
on.
out to me.
It's
What is
classic
this?
Star Wars, isn't it? You pretend someone's hurt. Well, I don't think it's you put on the Stormtrooper costumes, basically, isn't it? In this, it was the wetsuits of
Oh, okay. So this
the
that why is it
guards.
called Get Help?
Someone's injured, come help, and then you karate chop them or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how Freddy and Scotty. Luckily, the guards wear, I don't know, full wetsuits covering their faces, so you don't notice the obvious frog man. The telltale sign being his long feet, I guess. He doesn't do enough of frog stuff,
Doesn't
like
do any frog stuff.
not with his
He's just a
tongue.
man.
He jumps once or twice. When the gadgets are like a robotic fly at the start, I was like, well, he's obviously going to eat that, right? And
That's
show
what I
how
thought was going to
defeatable.
happen. Never
No.
seen again. No.
No. Punching and kicking to music. Just taking on people with guns, but it's fine because they're
Psychic
taking you off.
powers.
Psychic powers. One by one, the guards attack you without firing very well at you.
I mean, that's pretty standard action movie stuff.
Yeah, I felt like it was all in the power of the song, though, wasn't it? Like it was
Ugh.
such a big pop hit.
Fucking
Not
hell,
performing.
this
I will
song.
say, I used to love this scene when I was
Oh.
like this was the resounding memory of this film was this scene with this song playing and them
Yeah.
fighting.
And then you put your red scarf on and your flat cap and go play in the schoolyard pretending to be
With your
Frog
arms up.
Freddy. And I will say,
Warrior.
I love a cheesy 80s power ballad. It's just a shame they released it in 1992.
It's like sub like Sammy Hagar era Van Halen cover band type music.
And it gets a reprieve. Like they kind of have
Yeah, it
the
comes
bit where
back.
he's out cold, is he from, I
He
can't
does
remember
it. He does some
the
kind of
magic
psychic
box.
thing. Yeah.
and he gets his mojo back, and then the song kicks in again.
Ugh.
And he you know, they stick, as Abby said, they shove Big Ben up his ass.
It's actually very unclear, obviously Big Ben doesn't grow up into Brian Blessed's anus, but what does happen is very confusing, because
Freddie has to signal with his eyes to the spy lady, Affers.
Yeah.
Look over to the machine that does the thing and shrink him. And, well,
but
make the tower big, push it up, make it go, catch, and it, the tower, he gets caught on the
but it doesn't,
hands of Big Ben,
yeah,
and hoists him up.
But it gets bigger, and then do they shrink it again? So it,
they shrink it again, so he's also included.
Okay.
He somehow, because he's touching it now, it
and he puts him in a matchbox.
And then the problem solved.
Is that it? We don't see him again.
That's Matchbox's conclusion on that one.
I'm assuming he killed him and just crushed it.
Suffocated
him. Yeah, there's no big cut holes in that matchbox.
Yeah,
just set it on fire. Burnt him like a witch. He's handed over to the authorities, probably, I think. But then, so the auntie's still to go. She's there, all snake powers. And her...
She defeats herself.
Yes. You have to have... If your wizard's having a battle, they always have to turn into different animals. As you and I know, Abby, from watching, the Sword in the Stone, is it?
We watched the Sword in the Stone, yes. The transformations in that had reasoning. The transformations in this were... almost, it's not that they were arbitrary, it's that they were too frequent. It's like, why would you only be that animal for 5 seconds before changing into something else?
It's like she was losing control of it, but there's no reason given for that. Or because that would also explain why she's turning into animals, but also bumping into things and fucking stuff up.
She becomes a hyena and bites a table leg and a scorpion and gets caught in a jar, but then she can
and then he flamenco dances around the fucking scorpion, and I wanted to flip my kitchen table over
and do all your dishes.
I just put them back and do them again. Jesus Christ.
And the animation in this whole section was so slow. Did you notice that? Every time they were throwing punches or moving their feet, it was just that half degree too slow.
Yep.
It was really weird.
But she manages to defeat the jar because she changes into a snake and breaks free. And then
for the first time, she's the correct snake to suffocate people.
Yeah, and it's the breath is going out of them. I feel the one thing I was getting throughout the whole of this film was I don't want to get too Freudian, but things that play into a sort of sexual awakening, because there's lots of transforming into bigger sizes,
yes,
and crushing the wind out of people.
Yeah, no, there's a I there feel is
like it's affecting, not that I'm into weird shit now, but I feel like there's stuff in this that's wrong for children to watch.
Oh,
on a subconscious level,
I guarantee that of the small number of people that did see this film as children when it came out, a few of them were activated in some
into
way.
Some sort of BDSM thing.
Or just that, furries maybe.
It's always furries. Furries have ruined a generation of children. This has that exact problem. But I just feel like there's a few too many things. Sexualizing Nessie, it's made me confused as an adult. I have preferences now that are probably based on animated characters and action sequences.
And not even that, just also Daphne, she's always bending and contorting it. There are animators having lots of fun animating Daphne.
Yeah. And this isn't like a Roger Rabbit concept with a femme fatale that we're parodying. This is just gratuitous silliness.
This is just bollocks. Draw a very curvy woman. Oh, absolutely. I didn't mean as Nessie. I meant the woman in the film. No, they're all going to be hot now.
But also, even though the snake's evil and a bit ugly, still something about her that's wrong and sexual.
Like I said, she still has the suggestion of tits, and she's going to crush you with them.
How does Freddy overcome being Cobra, suffocated by a python?
He has... Boy George starts singing a song about not fearing the sword.
Wait, is that Boy George?
Yeah.
God, they've got all the stars from yesteryear, this, haven't they?
God.
And then he has like a flashback, and it's supposed to be one of those flashbacks where you remember something very important and it inspires you to do something. But all his father says was, "Oh, one day you'll have the strength to do stuff," and then that's enough for him to now be able to uncoil her and throw her around.
He also really quietly says "papa" as he's being strangled, and I was like, "Ugh, that's fucking hell!"
Yeah, Freudian again, isn't it? Like what? So yeah, these are flashbacks to the scene we saw with the dad and the son before they were, you know, set upon their tragedy, and it is just he didn't say this stuff. This isn't a flashback. He didn't hear this dialogue.
No,
we probably saw the animation, but we didn't like turning shit into butterflies to amuse his son and going. Believe in the heart of the cards or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's literally that. It's just vague platitudes and you'll be fine.
It really was just vague platitudes. You're expecting him to do something like, you know, you'll always have more magic than her, just use your mind kind of thing.
Good magic, whereas like what good overcomes like, evil?
Just, you know, you'll be able to do it, I guess.
Practice your breathing. You're amphibious, you don't need that much oxygen. Fuck knows. Anyway... She becomes an ugly bird and flies off as the MI6 people are turning up in helicopters or some shit.
Yeah, and so the end, I suppose.
They ask, like, what was that? They're just like, oh, it was just an ugly bird. Oh, it doesn't
some
matter.
Some ugly old bird.
Don't worry. I will defeat her properly in the sequel with that we're not doing. Hoi, hoi, ho. Oh, Michelle.
Stupid woman.
Exactly.
Oh, René. Like, yeah,
why it was like this is because "Hello, Hello" was a thing in the late 80s, early 90s.
I mean, that is what Ben Kingsley is doing, pretty much.
Yeah. So fuck that. The true villain gets away, and we're not going to worry about it. And Matchbox guy handed over. And it's, you know, cut back to fucking MI6 to pat everyone on the back and say how good job. Like, I guess they restore all the monuments. I don't know how they used it. I guess they used the snake technology.
Put it in reverse, I guess.
They did have that scene where they have the queen coming and pushing the lever and buttoning.
Yeah.
Oh,
she
God.
She pushes the lever, then gets back into her carriage to offer him a knighthood from inside. And she has a sword ready. She's just got that. Like, there's one in the carriage, just ready to go.
She's so lazy that she's gonna knight him on the spot, but from in the carriage without saying anything. Why is the queen so mysterious in this? Like, if we draw the queen, we'll be hung, drawn, and quartered if we insult her. So,
speaking of, this is also where they what's the guy? Jonathan Pryce's character, Trilby, the traitor.
Oh yeah,
gets like outed and taken away, and I was like, well. He's going to be executed then because he committed treason against the crown.
Also, other than being a bit rude, he didn't do anything to really help the plans, did he? He was just in the offices.
This another fucking... the film is like so full of these fantastic British actors, but all Jonathan Pryce really does in this role is going... Meh, meh, meh,
meh. Yeah, they do a few jokes with a butler as well about like, he's a frog.
That's
not. Hey, you can't call a Frenchman a frog. No, no, he's green. No, he's got loads of experience.
Yeah, I early on enough in the film where I was like, oh, okay, that's all right.
I get it. That's obviously the concept of the film coming into play. The joke. That's the main joke, isn't it? There's, oh, is
right,
it?
And they're gonna do it a lot and pay it all off. Nope.
No. We're going to worry about the more detail in the sequel in the USA.
Because they get a call from the White House.
President wants to thank him, is it, or something?
And then that's the end of that.
I like we did have a joke about the Queen is going to knight Freddie, and then he's like, well, I'm French, so I don't know what the President of France is going to have to say about this.
Yeah.
I guess this kind of doesn't make sense. but I'm also a prince, so I'm the fucking same as you, bitch. I'm the fucking king now. Just defeat. I'm the rightful heir of somewhere, but I don't care because I live in a penthouse in France.
I had honestly forgotten he was a prince.
He ditched the crown. He sort of abdicated the crown, did he?
It's just, he forgets, but like it's
how. Why does the film hate itself? It doesn't care about its own bullshit. Well, how come Nessie doesn't get a fucking medal for saving the day, like at the end of Star Wars?
Or nobody's. I mean, that's the other thing as well. It's like it's such an easy joke in this film to have people freaking out about the fact that there's a man frog walking around, and apparently there aren't any others. Like
it's
fucking.
It's the rule of turtles. If you're wearing like a coat or a hat, people can't tell.
It's like fucking what was it in Animaniacs? Chicken Boo.
Yeah.
Where like. There's a chicken that's just like in situations and everyone just accepts it except for one person who's always like, there's a chicken in a suit. Like, that's basically what's happening here. Everyone's just sort of completely fine with the idea of this human frog.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit surprising, but nothing we can't get over. Whereas in a world where Raven punk rockers come in and jive talk at you and go... We're here again for the same animation sequence.
Oh, yeah, right. They turn back up.
Yeah. And it's literally just heart shape, goodbye, that'll do. Love and kisses or something.
Oh, and he even says, the fucking. Whenever they talk about getting the call from America and the congratulations and stuff, and they're like, they're going to go to America, and Freddy's like, I've always wanted to visit, how you say, the United States. And I'm like, what? The fuck are you talking? What do you mean?
How you say?
It's just like, that's just what it's called. Freak.
You've been talking English the whole time. How you say? how? What is the word? It's not a word. It is three letters. USP. Is that what it is? I don't know. Oh, you eccentric English people and your US of A. Fucking hell. Fuck off.
And then we get another song over the credits.
God, Ben Kingsley got knighted by the Queen for real. But for this, probably. Service to the country. What was the song in the credits? It's appalling.
Freddie's going to come and he's going to be... It's going to be good. Don't you worry. Here he is. Check him out. It's Freddy. And it's really like funky bass in the background and like sharp like synthy drums. And I was like, what? This song is from 1987.
Me and Anthony are up dancing to the theme tune at the end. Putting our red scarves on and like punching this guy. Like, Freddy did it again. Rewind the tape.
Somehow you know who did what songs. Who did the song at the end on the credits?
It was the guy from Holly Johnson.
Who's that?
The guy
Frankie
from
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh yeah, my god.
They got all the stars. All the stars are here.
They got all of these like genuinely good singers and musicians and managed to get really terrible songs out of them.
These are 80 stars whose best days abide them. The best they can hope for is a cameo in fucking A-Team or Miami Vice or something. Like, these are, you know, not... Who was big in the early 90s? I mean, maybe it's still good gets. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. Grace Jones, that's like...
Yeah, she was in a Bond film, so that's a connection to the concept, at least.
Oh, God, yeah, where she sleeps with a 78-year-old Roger Moore.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's Grace Jones, though.
She'd fuck a frog, if you asked her.
I'm more just... You don't guess Grace Jones. Grace Jones does what Grace Jones wants.
And that's why I'm shocked that the song is that bad.
Well... Abby, any other final thoughts? Any bits of stuff you wanted to say that you haven't had a chance?
There's a lot of references to me trying to work out the time frame for this and then eventually giving up.
Yeah, because the medieval to... Is it 50s? Not really. Is it the 90s? 80s music?
I assumed it was just meant to be contemporary, which I also guess would make Freddy a couple of hundred years old.
Can he live forever as a frog? Well, there's no rules to anything.
Yeah.
The only other note I had, really, is that it never occurred to me that people actually gamble at Ascot.
What do you mean? It's a horse race.
I know, but you don't. Yeah. You just see them hanging out in their little hats and everything. Like, does one of them really go up to the bookie and go, yes, I want to place £100? Really?
Well, they all own the horses and are rich, so they don't need the money. So they just
yeah,
fucking,
they're not.
They
It's not that
bet, you know, they bet like servants with each other. Like, you could have 10 of my little Asian boys who fan me for your, you know, Jaguar or whatever.
Yeah, I think they bet money, but like they're all so rich that the movie's just the money's just sort of moving around between them rather than like anyone losing anything.
You're right, though. You do go there to be seen rather than
yeah.
to care about horses.
God, so sounds so fucking boring.
I come to you last, Andy, because he was your pick. Jamie, what are your final thoughts?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that's fair. I don't know. It's one of those films that like it's awful. It really is bad. And
it's
it takes
a second
a lot.
Pass at the script, for fuck's sake. Just sort of
I
iron
know.
out what you want to
like,
do.
I think it does take a lot for me to just, you know, I try to give some credit, and I guess I did a little bit with this, with like some of the animation is nice, fine. A
couple of jokes that are okay.
Brian Blessed is fucking like they
bellowing.
They just put him in a room and said, yeah, you just do whatever you're going to do and we'll animate around it, which is fine. But like, it's just a fucking mess.
It's
like
hard
the,
work
yeah,
as well.
There's, yeah, and like, yeah, the it's clearly not like he was like, I'm going to write a film. So he wrote one script and then went, there we are. Now let's get to work. Like it was such a hodgepodge mashup of just vague ideas that don't make sense. But at the same time, like, because it's such a specifically personal film made ostensibly for one person, it's so uniquely weird in how bad it is. Like it's not a like it sucks and it's boring. Fuck it. It's like
it feels like the sort of thing like Rock and Rule or something.
Kind of. Rock and Rule was better.
Yeah, kind of. Even like Rock a Doodle as well. Like there's people
they have
with a story
plot
in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like those films if you removed any of the,
it's just fucking
well, this
Mad
is the
Libs.
Idea. Yeah.
Just fill in the blanks. Yeah.
But it does make it like oddly fascinating in its own way, because you just watch it
yeah.
and go, what are you, what?
What's happening?
What are you, why are you so weirdly racist, and why is everyone, like, fully erect under their trousers in this film? Like, why is everybody so fucking, like, hot and curvy in this weird, like, this bizarre children's film that's not made for anyone? It's so strange. How did you get all these musicians together to make the worst songs of their careers that were then, like, hidden in this film no one saw?
What's the deal with the frog
Here's,
car?
I'm curious to know how this affected his relationship with his son.
I did think that as well. I was like, did they talk after this?
Do they talk now?
Where is his son? Where is this man?
They
because
both live
he's
in a nursing home. The kid always did. The father does now.
Because like, I tried so hard to find like more stuff about this outside of, you know, the things we've talked about, and it's just,
well, kids like any old shit. We established that at the start. His son would have been listening to it like, yeah, tell me, maybe Nessie should be in it this time. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, no, that's
that,
that's fine. You tell, like, if you're trying to tell a story to your kid to get them to go to sleep, you'll tell them any old shit, or you'll just read a story someone else wrote. But
it's
like,
the hubris to think the rest of the world needs to hear this.
Hey, J.R.R. Tolkien did it. Maybe I can too. There's such a thing as fucking lightning in a bottle.
Sure.
I suppose props to him for giving it a go, I guess.
Yeah, good for him, I think. So, Anthony, did this live up to your every expectation, or...?
I will say, I watched the film with a smile on my face all the way through, but that
had
was...
Had you been joking,
Ass? I will admit it was pure nostalgia. Just the memories made it worthwhile for me. And I understand if I ever watch this film ever again, I will hate the shit out of it.
I'm just picturing Anthony with the exact same smile that Pedro Pascal does in that in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent when they've dropped him and Nicolas Cage have dropped acid and they're in the car.
I can recognize that the film makes absolutely no sense. Half of the animation is fine. The other half is weirdly slow. It's so hard to describe, but like, it's just not right.
It's just not dynamic in any way. An odd arms up thing the frog has. I don't know.
Yeah.
They make weird choices in the animation, like, don't they?
And I get the jokes they're going for.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes. So few land.
Yeah.
Is this your Super Mario Brothers? Like, 93?
I mean, he doesn't go on about it all the time.
I may now that I've remembered it.
Yeah, somehow no Exorcist or David Lynch connections here.
I don't think this really compares to Super Mario Brothers. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in Super Mario Brothers. That's fine.
It is,
you know.
No, this is worse than Super Mario Brothers because several people had to animate this. This wasn't some one mad director.
But it wasn't a betrayal of a comic. It wasn't like there was a Freddy Frog games that were good and they didn't understand.
I don't know. Okay, first of all, somehow the Mario Brothers movie from the early 90s had two directors. I won't go into that.
How are we on Mario Brothers again?
But also, you say it's not a betrayal of a concept, but I kind of feel like it is. The film sort of betrays its own concept as it goes along.
But you say Freddy as FRO7, it suggests that Freddy is a pre-existing entity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a draw.
So if the guy wrote these as different stories, so Freddy was a constant in his child, in the stories for his children or son or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was just, okay, this week Freddy is
James Bond.
Sir Freddy, the knight of the realm, or next week, you know, Freddy in space, Freddy the fucking space guy. And then this one is the spy one, and it had nothing really to do with spy stuff.
And when you fall asleep, Freddy's going to have some alone time with Daphne.
With Freddy as Freddy the Long Dong. Fucking hell.
Freddy
oh. oh, God.
Oh, yeah, Freddy in Freddy Got Fingered would be a good one. Just him fucking wanking off an elephant. And having a musical number, of course.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Daddy, would you... Yeah, that's good. Would you like some frog's legs? I'm sure they made a frog's legs joke.
They absolutely did.
Oh, Christ, yeah. Yeah, my only final thought was that I don't know who I was as a child anymore. Like, you know, I like this. I didn't just watch it. I fucking like this. And you just go, what, do you not critically think at all? Does none of this bother you? And I'm just like, I don't know what little me would have said. But like, fucking Big Rich is very much confused as to what I got out of it. Beyond some sort of, pretty colours and songs, don't think about it. I can imagine, my dad had a flat cap as well. There's 100% chance I put the flat cap on and found a scarf and pretended to be Freddy.
And walked around with your arms up.
Yeah, my arms up. Pretending to do magic and banging a spy or fucking the Loch Ness Monster or something. Driving the car would have been cool. I think I would have imagined myself driving around in a frog car.
Oh, man, he spent so much time in her. The car, I mean.
Yeah. Pretending to be Freddy and going to Ascot. All the role play things, yeah.
There are worse animated films. Maybe one day I'll make us do Mortal Kombat: The Journey Begins.
For a minute, wow. I think I say maybe I'll make one.
Hold on, Anthony, have you seen that?
Absolutely.
Oh my God!
I've
okay.
seen that as well.
Abby, me and you've watched all the Mortal Kombat, haven't we?
Yeah.
Again.
Ooh, I had The Journey Begins on VHS.
Good for you, buddy. Yeah. Anyway, well, we don't know if it'll be that or something else next time on the pod, but we've dissected this frog like a chemistry lesson. Or it would be biology, wouldn't it?
Chemistry? It wouldn't be chemistry biology. Lesson.
It was a very much a biology lesson watching this fucking thing. The birds and the bees and the frogs. Anyway, join us again for another chat about another film. Kisses. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
French frog kisses. Mwah. Zut alors.
Yeah, mwah. In front of a lady, eh?
Penis.